The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to the Goodish Girls, guys. My name is Dallas.
And I'm Cass.
And today we are here with Between Pages and Friends. I have been waiting for this episode for a long time. I'm so happy you guys are here. Oh, this is so exciting.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so, happy to be here.
I feel like my face is on the pod like a lot on our social media, but I feel like we don't see Cass a lot because she has actually not been on the show for 10 months. And so you guys are the first group seeing her since then. Cass, do you want to tell them why you haven't been here?
Yeah.
I feel like they'll relate.
Yeah, I was growing a baby, and then I had the baby.
Yay!
Yeah. So he is going to be a month old on the 15th, and I am starting to feel like myself again. So I was like, I'm ready to come back. So we're enjoying it. Yeah, he's very tiny, 6 pounds, 9 ounces. So still a little baby doll.
Tiny little baby.
Oh,
he's perfect. Yeah, so we all gathered here today for a very specific reason, and that was to talk Quicksilver and Brimstone. It is, I think, one of the most blown up books on the internet at this point in time.
Yeah.
You guys deep dove Quicksilver, we deep dove Quicksilver, and you guys are doing Brimstone, yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Okay. How do you do that between the four of you? Do each of you check out chapters, or how do you guys segregate who's going to do what on each episode?
So we aren't actually a deep dive. We do book club style. So typically two of us have read the book already and two of us are reading it for the very first time on podcast. So every episode we only discuss that week's reading section because two of the four of us don't know what's happening the rest of the book. So we can't really talk too much more, so a lot of followers can, or like people who listen in, can read along with us for the first time and kind of have that experience, so it's really fun. But we're attempting for Brimstone that all four of us are first time readers for the whole thing, so
it's gonna be wild.
Yes, yeah. We're gonna have to avoid the internet for a minute.
For a long time. We typically read about 70 to 100 pages per week. Mm-hmm. And that's what we'll discuss. So it'll take us, we're planning 7 episodes for Brimstone. So it'll take us until January to finish it.
Yeah. It's 20,000 more words than Quicksilver was. Mm-hmm. And it's like 4.5 extra hours, I think, on the Audible. It's going to be amazing.
Which is awesome.
Book.
I'm excited about
so
that.
Excited.
So excited.
It's going to be amazing. And so I wanted to ask, how did you guys get into this? How did your podcast start?
So Lauren and I have been best friends since college, just like last year, because we're really young.
Yes.
And joking, that was what, 12, 13, 13
Feel
years
that.
Ago
yeah,
we met,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not talk about it.
So we went to college together for 2 years, and then I moved back home to Cincinnati, and Lauren lives in Branson, Missouri. And so we've been long-distance book besties for a long time. So so a few years ago, Lauren got me back into reading, and I got her to read A Court of Thorns and Roses after I read it, and that spiraled into this whole Bookstagram situation. And then we ended up bringing the boys into it. John started reading with me on Bookstagram, and then Kyle joined when we started the podcast, and we've been doing the podcast now for about a year and a half.
Oh,
wild.
I love that. I love that A Court of Thorns and Roses is like the starting book.
Yes, like the gateway book.
Really yeah, it really is. I didn't read for a really, really long time, and then I was going on a cruise, and I said, Cass, I need a book I want to read on a cruise. Like, that's my goal, is I'm just going to go on this cruise and read a book, and that's my life. And I was like, I read true crime. And she was like, you don't anymore. Here's this book. And so...
yes, Cass. That's a true friend right there.
That is a good friend.
I was in Wings and Ruin by that point, and I was like, okay, I've got like two books that I can just stay ahead of her. But she caught up to me. By the time she came back, she was like, I need the next one now.
Yeah, I'm actually ready.
So I gave her that one. And then by the time I got to Wings and Ruin, or she got to Wings and Ruin, I was like, I'm still not done yet. So she had to buy her own copies after that. But yeah.
And she gave me Verity.
And here we are. And now you probably
here
have
we are.
The copies.
Yeah.
And all the things.
And more.
We learned that I actually read faster than Cass, which everyone reads at their own reading speed. I didn't realize that I can read at that speed, which is amazing for me, but not for Cass, because I'm like, hello, where are you at now? And then with the Throne of Glass series, obviously I finished ACOTAR, so I was like, now I have to start Throne of Glass. And so I ended up buying her books. I would, like, buy one, and then I would give it to her, and then buy another one, and then give it to her.
Yeah.
Like, so now you have your own Throne of Glass.
So yeah.
It's cute.
Now I just use her Audible. So she buys the books on Audible, and then I just...
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yes.
As long as I have
we just steal things back and forth. That's how it works.
It's fair.
It's the bestie library.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, right?
So with Quicksilver, and this didn't go to anybody, but what was your favorite part about Quicksilver? We could even have like all of you answer if you would like, but like the overall book, what was your favorite part? I know it's a pretty vague question.
I particularly liked the Fae representation. I feel like I've said a lot of like how she described and dealt with the Fae and the Fae rules and that sort of thing, the deals they make, the lore they have. I really liked it. My type of fae,
the Dungeons and Dragons kind.
Yeah.
The
Kyle kind.
Yes, the Kyle kind.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that for sure. It's very interesting, and we are learning that, and I'm hoping we get more of it in Brimstone, that like with that, when they're glamored, the characteristics that they have are different or they change. And the only reason I know this is because Kelly had confirmed that when Carrion was glamored, he did not have his fae senses. And that one sentence lives in my mind rent-free. Yeah. But I have nothing else to go on except for that one answer.
That's interesting. I don't think I'd heard that yet.
Interesting. Huh.
Isn't that wild? Ooh. I had asked her that a couple months ago, and I was like, she's like, we have time for one more question. I was like, did Carrion have his fae senses the whole time? And she said, no. And then I was like,
see, that's a great question, because because if he does have any connection to Finrin, he wouldn't smell him, I guess.
Exactly.
Like, he's wearing his shoes. Like, he wouldn't know those things, you know, to we're talking a lot about, like, when they go back to Zilvarin, is Finrin going to be there? Does Carrion know this whole time? But, like, maybe he literally doesn't know that.
Yeah, I don't think he does. And we had talked about... like who Elroy actually is. And then the theory had come up, like, is Elroy actually like Finrin? Because we know that Carrion went off to live with like those ladies, and the ladies raised him. So technically he wouldn't really know what Finrin looked like, regular or glamored.
Hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't considered that.
Because, I mean, he was pretty much glamored his whole life up till now, so I kind of now also look forward knowing that him going back to the wards and be like, oh, it does reek here, like this is awful.
Yes.
Like, no, now I thought it was bad.
So glad I was glamored.
No water.
But he also wouldn't like know the smells of the other people, because like he wouldn't like to be able to smell, like, oh yeah, I know that smell, that's this person, because he had never smelled them before.
Regular that's human nose technically. Can't smell any of it.
Interesting.
Isn't that crazy? Mm. All right, what was your
guys' well, that makes me feel like...
What did you say, Con?
Well, that makes me feel like maybe I could be convinced a little bit more about Elroy being Finrin if Carrion wouldn't have known who he was.
I feel like there's two different ways she could go. I mean, she could, maybe she can go a million ways that I don't even think of. I don't know. But I feel like either A, he was mentioned so much in the beginning of the story, and then he just dropped out of the story completely, right? Like, we heard Hayden mostly the rest of the book because she was, like, obsessed with finding him. Mm-hmm. But Elroy kind of dropped off the map. But he was still in our brains. So he could end up being Finrin, or we could be introduced to an entirely new character that is Finrin in the future. So I feel like she has options, but it would make my heart happy if that theory came to life, because then he has such a deep connection with Ceres already, right? Like, helping raise her and taking care of her mom and all of these things.
Yeah. I think that might also be my biggest argument against him being Finrin, though, is Carrion does not have those senses, but Kingfisher does. And Elroy was around Ceres, and he went to go get her brother, and he surely would have smelled his own dad and been like, whoa, my dad has been around you or, like, near you.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's a fair point.
Very true.
Ooh.
Yeah. We did get a lot
Finrin
of, like,
is a glamour. Like, Elroy is his glamour, and it hides
changes
his
scent.
Scent or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Also a good point.
The scent changing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. We did get a lot of random little character names in the very beginning that weren't actually introduced on page, like the shopkeepers and stuff.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking about Vorath Shaw. I think that was his name. Because I was like, that's so weird that the character would have a last name, but we haven't actually met them.
That is weird.
So I feel like they're going to come back somehow, but I don't know that that would necessarily be Finrin.
Yeah.
I just feel like they might end up being reintroduced at some point.
They might show up. Do you guys think Carrion's going to find his boot? I know it's a silly question, but it's
a hard question, right?
Yeah.
But he has a new pair of boots, but I think in Brimstone. And when you're reading Brimstone, when he's walking through the Wicker Woods or wherever they're walking, he's going to be like, ah, my boot. And you guys are going to think of this moment right here.
1,000%.
I could get behind that. Yes. It's hilarious.
It took me a second to be like, is that a plot point that I missed?
It is now. Yeah, they made a big deal about him losing the boot, right? And then he got a new pair of boots. And then in a bonus chapter, they bring up how he received this new pair of boots. So I feel like it's a perfect opportunity for humor in the next book. For him to be like, ah, my boot.
Do you think it'll still fit?
So probably.
If he's taller now, do you think it'll still be like, oh, it doesn't even fit anymore?
Wait, that's a great point.
Probably not.
They'll probably turn it into, like, a dick joke, too. Yeah. Like, you know, everything's bigger now.
For sure.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Are you guys doing anything to celebrate Brimstone? Like, on the midnight rally, are you guys, like, doing, like, going to an event or anything?
We're all parents of children.
For work.
We're going to bed.
Yeah, true.
Yes. But then you'll wake up and you'll be here.
Yeah, Con's traveling, so.
That's fair. Yes, that's fair. So, and then what were...
Yeah. Are you guys, you guys are going to one?
Yes, Cass is not going because she is at home with baby. And baby still needs cuddles.
I'll be in bed as well, yeah.
I'm going to go, I'm going to be in New York for the one at Barnes & Noble. Which it's my first ever book release party, so I'm real nervous but also so excited.
That's such a big one to go to.
I know,
that's so cool.
I'm stressed.
Incredible.
I'm jealous.
But I'm gonna print out Cass's face and put it on a stick.
Where do you live? Like, are you like
we're in Florida. Like Orlando area.
Oh yeah, so you're making like a whole trip.
Yeah, it's like a 2.5 hour drive, but I'm not going alone, thankfully. I was gonna go by myself and then I was like, I've never been to New York. I probably should take a friend. So we're going to take it to friends with me. Yes. So it'll.
Did you say you're driving?
No, flying.
Oh, okay.
No, not driving. I don't think anybody drives in New York. Okay.
That would be a long trip. Like,
yeah, please take a friend.
That would be really long.
Yeah.
You could finish the book on the way back.
Right?
No joke. So what were some fun theories that you guys had on your show about like Quicksilver and what's going to happen in Brimstone?
Here you go. The one that Kyle and I were talking about in our last episode was about Taladeus being like a almost like a love interest of some kind, not like endgame, but some sort of love interest. But that's why when Callie released that video the other day with the the audio mm-hmm. of Kingfisher talking to someone, a lot of people immediately assumed that it was Carrion, but I feel like it's Talladeus. And I feel like that would make sense if Tal is spending a bunch of time with Saris while Kingfisher and Carrion are in Zilvaren. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Kingfisher comes back and has that conversation. That's where my head went. So I'm kind of here for it.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can definitely
That's something I really didn't ever think about.
I also...
There's a whole Reddit thread on it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people
I'm
going to
need
are...
the link for that.
Yes.
I'm
gonna, yeah, I've been at... You know, I did see one on TikTok that I was like... I didn't look at it too long because I got confused and I got mad at it. But it said that they did the thing that people in, like film trailers do, where it's cut of one audio and then a cut of another audio pasted over the video to make it look flawless. So it says in the beginning when it's like, do you love her, that is Carrion, and then it switched to Talladeus, and it was both of them in the audio but at two separate times in the book. So I don't know if anyone wants to look into that anymore. I got mad at it and I was like, I'm gonna go. So maybe I'll come
Let's
back
just call up Anthony Palmini and ask him real quick.
I'm gonna message him.
I think you know what his answer is gonna be.
I don't know. I just read the lines. Well, we got to interview Anthony and Stella on our podcast, and I asked him some questions about, like, okay, so I noticed this, and it says a discrepancy between this and that, and he's like, I just read the lines. That's so it's like, I feel like if I asked him this question, he'd be like, I don't know, I just read the book.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he's not like a big theory guy, anything like that, which I learned as well.
He's just living his life. Yep.
Well, and he can't really talk about it either once he's recorded
them. Exactly.
For sure.
Well, and then you had...
But I wonder if... There was at least one that Callie had released. I think there were a couple before the Brimstone audio was finished that I think she had Anthony Palmini just like record that. Just like record that section. Mm-hmm. It was just like a little excerpt that she had him record for the video that she posted.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the ones that are coming out now, if that's the same thing where she just had him record that all the way through, or if it's an excerpt that could be split from the audiobook.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. It has to be done though, right?
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. The audiobook would be done
at
by
this
now,
point.
But I don't know. Yeah.
Or maybe she like was like, "Hey, can you re-record this again?" I don't. That's interesting. I don't think he would answer if I asked him. I'm ballsy enough to do it.
Probably not.
But I don't think I'd get an answer out of it.
Same.
I'm like, hello, Anthony. It's me again. Can you please answer these questions? No, but you guys, it was really...
Do you remember this one line out of the 800,000 you recorded?
Yeah.
From a book you probably did earlier this year and have done many since.
Tell me the truth. What are you... What happened?
Be honest.
Yeah.
But and it was really cool because you guys had Stella and Anthony basically speak to each other for the first time. Is that correct? That's incredible. How did that go? What was that like?
They had never met.
Because I've interviewed them both.
They didn't even tell us. Yeah. Oh, they didn't even tell us till like halfway through the episode. By the way.
They're professionals.
Yeah, that moment happened like 20 minutes in.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was cool though. It was fun.
Besides that, what was the favorite part of your interview for that? Like, it must have been awesome having them both like talking at the same time.
It was awesome. It was trippy.
Do you boys want to tell them about the OSHA boys?
Yeah. It was really good. There was, if you're not aware, we had the bit of like the Red Flag Diary turned into OSHA violations for this podcast segment of Quicksilver.
Like,
so every time
OSHA violations.
Yeah, every time he called Saris OSHA or did something that was like, that's a bit of a red flag, we call it an OSHA violation. And when we had Anthony and Palmini on, we brought some of those violations to him and were like, tell us how Kingfisher might react if he was taken to court over all these violations.
Oh, no.
But instead he like improvised if Kingfisher had a lawyer and he was like, oh, my client's under duress. And so he did like this whole bit. It was really good.
That was awesome.
It was really funny.
So funny. Yeah. They're hilarious.
But what you're missing about the OSHA boys, John and Kyle both get in costume every time the OSHA boys appear.
Little hard hat.
Really?
Wow. Their little hard hat with a butterfly on it, some high-res vests. It's a whole moment.
Amazing. I wish I would have known that. I would have requested it in this interview. I could have wanted to. Wait, hold on. We'll actually go get the hard hat. We'll be waiting.
That's one of my best years.
You gotta find it. We're gonna record and start next week.
I gotta find it
true.
Very soon.
Yeah, you gotta get it ready.
Be more violations.
There will be red flags. I'm sure of it. I'm absolutely sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's romanticy, of course.
It's romance.
Yes. Yeah. It has to be. It's a fantasy world.
There's always a little bit.
Yes. I have a hot take on a relationship that I ship in Brimstone. I know Cass hates me for this one. Mm. But I think that Carrion and Danya.
Connor's not going to like it.
Yes! Carrion and Danya!
Yeah!
I knew it was coming.
We have the same.
I'm with Cass on this one. I don't like it either.
No!
Not a fan.
Like the mean girl and like the derpy guy. And I think she's going to end up saving him from something that he got himself into. It's going to be like a one.
I have big theories on Danya and Everlane. That would be like my, I guess, big theory is I think they're living parallel stories in the sense that right now we really don't like Danya, or it's set up that we don't, but she's lived hundreds of years in dedication to the Lupoprolia and is around for some reason. And I think she's going to end up being one of our faves and a hero and loyal to everyone and all the things. But Everlane, on the other hand, like one of the first things she tells Saris is, you know, be careful with the Fae. Someone right in front of you could actually be holding a knife to your back, and you shouldn't trust anyone, and you should do well to remember that. And I was like, okay, I will remember that. Thank you. And have just like, I don't know. Her dad is Bellicon. We don't know anything she's been doing for the last 100-something years. She's just casually on the other side of the Darn wearing a really pretty dress with all the vampires. And it's like, how did she get there? Like, there's got to be some big story there.
Yeah.
And right now she's just, you know, healing. But like, is she a vampire? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And I think she's going to play like she's on the good guys and ultimately backstab everybody. Maybe even at the end of this book. Like, that will be some big twist. I'm worried that it will be the downfall of Renfis in that as well. But that's
I don't want that for
Ren. Some of my own stuff. But I think they're kind of living that parallel. Like, we're supposed to like Everlane and hate Danya, but Danya's going to be the hero and Everlane's going to be the villain. That's what I think.
I can see that.
Ooh, like, Danya. Opposites.
I can definitely. I know. I'm not a Danya fan at all.
I know. I could see her turning it around. Like, I know if Callie's going to do it, she's going to do it so well that I would love Danya. I know that, but I'm mad about it right now.
Or I'm going to have to accept the fact that, like, all right, she's a good character, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll have to, like, get over it. But
she's been through a lot, and
I'm here for it.
You say that for all of them.
I think
it'd be really
money.
Funny just to see, like,
I bet money that before Morel, she was like a completely different person. I think losing Morel hurt her and changed her way more than we know.
Ooh. Interesting. Yeah,
that's a good point.
But I will say that in
we don't know anything about her.
No, so, not really. Yeah. And that's what she says. She told us that. She goes like, she's like, you guys don't know anything about Danya. And I was like, you're right. We don't. But we will.
Tell us something.
What do I need to know about her right now? So yeah, no. It's in all 12 of our episodes, I never once considered Everlane to be anything but Everlane. So that is really interesting.
Me either.
And now I'm stressing about it.
Yeah. So there's like a quote in chapter 7, because I've had this conversation so many times now with like even. I've weirdly got this whole like book club at work where everybody's now reading this book because of me. And I'm like, everybody, look at this chapter 7. But it literally says like, you'll do well to remember that. Like that they can be smiling to your face, but holding a knife to your back. And I was like, okay, done. Got that from you. And now it's just like, I think I just took that and tried to see that angle from her, or maybe just had a general red flag, and I don't know. I'm convinced, but
it kind of makes sense though, because with Bellicon being her dad, like he wanted another heir, right? He wanted another boy, and then they had Everlane instead. So that could be like her villain story. Like she's like, I'm laying low right now, and then all of a sudden she's gonna turn and be like, Kingfisher, my life sucked all because of you. Like, this is all your fault. Mm-hmm. Here I come. I didn't think about that.
She's trying to live up to whatever he wants out of an heir or whatever. And so she's overly doing that. I don't know.
Man.
I just don't trust her.
I would never make it in the Frey realm, guys. I was like, oh, yeah, thanks. That's great advice. And I would, like, go on with my day. Wow, thank you. It's, like, really sweet.
Well, and it's especially...
What did they say?
And especially then? Like in this world with the Fae, where everything is taken so literally, like, give me a song and the song disappears, like those types of things.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're going to say that to me point blank and I'm just supposed to like skip over that. Yeah. I don't know.
I think that's a good reason why, like, I think myself and John and any dad would do great in the Fae realm because of dad jokes. Like, if people said something, I'm taking you very literally, and here's my response, and they'd be like, dang, you got me.
Big, I'm hungry. Hi, hungry, I'm dad.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, you changed my name. Thank you.
Oh, I see it. And then, so I want to talk a little bit about Onyx, too, because I think we all can agree by now the fox is not really just a fox. I have my theories. What do you guys think Onyx is, or who do you think Onyx is?
Or is Onyx just a fox? What is your opinion?
I'm leaning more toward Onyx mostly just being a fox, but also being like still very important to the story somehow. I guess I haven't been presented with a compelling theory yet on the alternative, so I would love to hear yours.
I'm ready.
All right, well, Dallas is gonna pull up her 5-page book.
I actually have a PowerPoint here to show you guys.
Amazing.
She's actually prepared for this.
You really have a PowerPoint?
No, I don't, but I should.
Go ahead and screen share. I do.
Okay, all right, so here we go. So we know that Onyx is something special within the story, right? My thought is that it is Kingfisher's mother, like, reincarnated, or somehow her spirit is in there, and this ties into the regular book and the bonus chapters, because if you're in the bonus chapters, and I hope that, I would think that everybody who's watching this episode has already listened to those bonus chapters or read them. If you haven't, they should be doing that now.
If but not, you should do that immediately.
Immediately, like yesterday.
Game changer.
Now it's on Audible, so you can.
Stop this, go listen to those, come back.
Yes, and then come back. So in those, there are moments where Kingfisher is finding the dresses in the closet that his mother made, right? Onyx is like basically leading him in there.
Oh, he's...
Right?
He's there, yeah.
Yes, Onyx is there, and he's like, hey, like basically like, check out these little dresses. And then when Ceres comes to the room and he shadows himself, like he's hiding, Onyx doesn't run to her like he always does. He always runs to Ceres. But he doesn't. He stays hidden on Kingfisher's boot. And that told me something big. And I don't know. And I'm throwing a lot at you guys right now. But like the...
Hasn't Onyx been like in the room though when Kingfisher and Ceres are like doing it?
Anti-mom dad theory.
Yes, but then there's the time, right, where they were, and then
yes, but.
It's the classic mom answer, like, I've seen it before, don't worry about it.
But there's a time where afterwards, right, that where she was like, oh, we're just moving furniture, and she's like, how did Onyx get to the outside of the door? Like, how did you get out there? And Onyx is like, what's up, dude? I'm coming back in. So, like, Onyx knew. And he, like, somehow, I don't know if he portaled out or what happened. I have no idea. There's no answer to that. But I digress. Portaled out. I cannot wait to find out that fox is
I think
about.
There's, I, yeah. I think there's something.
I think reading the book, I just lean towards, oh, he's just a fox. And he's just cute. And he's just the cutest little boy. And we just love him. We just love him. But... my only, like, for me, the big potential theory thing is that he was waiting in the, where the alchemist would work, like in the
forge.
Like, he was waiting there potentially for her or for an alchemist or for, like, if there's something that we found him there. Mm-hmm. But everything else just points to Fox to me. So, I don't know.
All right.
I'll be pleasantly surprised.
We're gonna circle
I'm happy
back.
Either way. Yeah.
I don't.
Oh, you know what? I think I did. Now that you say that, I think I did hear someone say they thought it might be whoever the previous alchemist was.
Oh, that's interesting. I have not heard that. That would be fun.
But yeah, I didn't think about.
We're convinced there's a lot of alchemists hiding out there. Maybe that's one.
Oh yeah, there has to be, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think they said there's like.
I don't know if I really believe.
I think there'd be.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just an avatar for the god of chaos, just to watch things go down.
Onyx is actually a god.
Maybe.
I would accept that. In that our trumping hearts, my theory. Yes, approved. That's wild. And then another question I have is, so we know, I'm switching topics to like swords, right? So we have Nymeril, which we know now because of, again, the bonus chapters, that it's 9 Morel, like 4 Morel. But we know that Renfis does not know the actual backstory to that. Do we think that he is going to actually find out the real backstory and that like his sister's soul is truly like living in Kingfisher's sword? And how do you guys think he will react? I got tough questions.
I guess I just assumed he did. Like, I guess we didn't see that on page, but I guess I didn't think that was something Kingfisher would necessarily need or want to hide from his longest friend. But
I don't know.
I guess I haven't thought about it.
Maybe, Lauren, like you said, you know, the whole Everlane thing is going to be the death of Renfis. And maybe that ends up in somehow.
Yeah, it's a bad word.
Maybe that ends up in somehow him being the end of Renfis.
It's almost bad, but a little better.
Maybe that ends up in him being.
It truly might kill him. I don't know.
Yeah. It could turn him somehow. She could turn him somehow. And then Kingfisher has to take him out. So Renfis will be reunited with his sister's soul when it's driven through him by Renfis.
Kyle.
Oh, Kyle.
Horrible.
Wow.
Kyle,
don't say things because you always say the dumbest random things and then they end up being true.
It's just what I would do.
Thing Kyle says.
It does that all the time.
No.
Callie Hart's like in her hotel room right now being like, God damn it, Kyle, you found out. What happened?
Your senses are going off.
No, that'd be pretty out there. But that would be, like, I would hesitate to say cool. It would be an interesting way for him to be like, oh,
that would be wild.
That's so rude.
You know, I really hope that doesn't happen.
I will call you out on social media if this happens, right? Live. Like, Kyle, I have a bone to pick with you. Wow.
You have to wait until we finish the book, though.
Yeah, because right? we won't know till January, so don't tell us.
It'll be Kyle, message me when you're done because I have a bone to pick with you.
Yeah, you just sent us an email like, we would like to have you on the podcast again for no reason, ..
Dripping with threatening energy.
Wow, what a theory though. So like, genuinely though, besides Kyle, who do you think will die in this next book? I know, not who we don't
I'm
want.
I'm kind of surprised Lorith made it through book one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little surprised Lorith made it to the end. I was expecting him to die in the maze. Because we get this whole, like, pretty cute backstory. We learn all the wonderful things about him. And so then that's when somebody dies, unfortunately.
That's fair.
But
he is my favorite side character. So he cannot leave us.
But see, that
the others that can leave, it's okay. Maybe like Daniel.
That is how they set it up. That's how they set it up to rip out your heart. That's how the authors do it.
But we also don't know very much about Renfis yet.
Yeah.
We haven't learned a whole lot about him. So I could also see, unfortunately, I love him. I don't want him to perish. I could see a tragic backstory being introduced for him and then him being like devastatingly killed off, maybe.
Yeah.
Guys, what if she kills off Archer?
No, she wouldn't. God.
I just thought about it.
How? That's illegal.
I feel like I don't know how. I don't
know. That's the line.
Worse than all that, what if the volleyball team doesn't make it to regionals?
Oh no, not the volleyball team.
Devastation.
It's like Glee.
But like, really,
I think
though,
the second book should just be a volleyball arc.
Yes.
Yeah.
Story.
They're gonna go to Galaria and like play the Galarian team.
We're gonna put the war on hold. We got a quick tourney we gotta do.
Yes. Daniel would crush them all. She would kill in volleyball. Yeah. I fully believe that, and I support it. But like, I don't know. I feel like it's, I feel like a main character is too guessable, right? Like, we've all talked about, we're like, Renfist, no! But I feel like it's too obvious. I feel like super lovable side character like Archer would be heartbreaking and devastating to us. And or Kingfisher. Onyx. Cassidy. No.
People always pull out the animals. You know how they are. Like, they're like, everybody loves the animals. That's any movie where an animal dies, I'm out. Like, I cry.
Oh my god, now it's gonna be Bill.
But I feel like Bill's gonna go for the animals. Or like Bill. Yeah. What if they go for
Bill?
Bill.
No, like, absolutely not.
If that happens, I'm shutting the book and I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm not finishing Brimstone.
Animal deaths, I think, are like the easy way, though. Like, animal deaths, and then like the cute side characters, like Archer, is like, oh yeah, they do suck, but in the end, it's like the plot's not really affected.
The
death
does. Okay, okay.
I was like,
what? People like,
wow, you have some strong feelings about Archer.
Yeah, Archer sucks, dude. I hate him. No, he's great. Yeah, but bigger characters, I think, will have actual impact. Like, I think my top three were Renfist, Taladeus, or Loreth.
Mm-hmm. I could see Tal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just one of those, like, as much as I would hate for it to be, like, a main character, main player type thing, I almost respect the game more, maybe from the author, just because it's, like, it just leaves you on your toes. Like, literally no one's off limits. Yeah. There's no, like, plot armor. Mm-hmm. It's just anything could happen compared to other stories where it's just like, oh, no, that ragtag group, no one's ever touching them. Like, you know, and then it just takes that level of danger off, I guess, that I think I like in a book, as much as I don't want anyone to die. Like, I think I like the living on the edge.
You know what I could see, though? Now that you've said Taladeus, Kyle, it made me think about how Malcolm is dead, quote unquote, for now, at least. but they have said that in order to kill one of the triumvirate, you have to kill all three. So I could see what I was nervous about before was that because Quicksilver ends on like in 2 days' time, you're going to be the queen. I was like, oh crap! That obviously that means she's not going to be crowned because something's going to go down. Like, otherwise she would have just woken up as queen or something. But if that's not the case, if there's no issues prior to the coronation, I could see maybe Taladeus going through this whole book helping her. And we grow to really like him, and maybe he does have like a love triangle thing, or maybe he doesn't, or maybe he's in love with someone else. Maybe it's the Zovina, whatever her name is. Well, no, I guess that was more of a quarrel. Anyway, but I could see Malcolm.
The best romances start that way.
True.
Like Arianna and Danya.
Exactly.
Shut up, Kyle.
You've been redeemed, Kyle.
I could see Malcolm coming back, though, by the end of the book and killing Taladeus for helping Saris. Like, I could see that arc coming into play somehow.
Yeah.
That's true. I always forget her name with the Z that you just said that, like, is here, but, like, not. Like, her name has been said, but we've never heard a single thing about her. Like, the same thing could be true. Like, we could meet her very quickly, somehow learn to love her, and then her be, like, ripped away. Or, like, a new character like that that maybe we haven't met yet either.
Yeah.
But King
What's her name again, Con?
Problems. Zovina.
Zovina. I had read that she was gonna, like, have some claim to the throne, or that she thinks she does, and she's gonna end up being the person, like, opposing Saris to be queened in 2 days' time. Or something, as, you know, she's this long-standing vampire female that thinks she is rightfully earned that next spot, kind of a thing. So in my head, that's just what she's been, because I read that one time on the internet somewhere, and I'm like, oh yeah, that tracks. Sure.
Love it. That's so funny. Or like,
that is what it sounded like.
It would be so tragic if we found Kingfisher's father. It turns out he is actually alive, and then he actually dies.
Yeah, I would hate that.
I feel like that would really hurt my heart, and it's something that she might do.
I feel like that's so mean to Kingfisher.
Yes.
So mean.
Oh, poor guy.
He's like, here he is. Just kidding.
Ooh, I hate it. Mm. Ooh, and then that was going to be the other question that I was going to ask. You brought it up. So, like, Bellicon, Malca, Madra, there's no way that they are all really dead. Like, Madra, like, jumped away, right? I'm assuming she just went back home.
Yeah, they, like, fled the scene. Yeah.
Pretty sure only Malcolm is supposed to be assumed dead.
Like, R.A.P., not really.
But.
I just wonder. Yeah. I'm so interested to see how she brings them all back into play. Or if there's going to be, like, a new villain that they're going to have to face. Because we haven't really explored a lot of, like, the map either.
Yes.
And there should be witches showing up.
Dragons.
And dragons.
They're coming. Dragons. It's going to be the dragons.
Yes. All the dragons.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. If Malcolm is alive, that changes Taladeus's whole character and his trustworthiness. Like, if he's still enthralled or whatever. And same with Everlane, if she was bitten by Malcolm and is a vampire. So
I think the witches will definitely have a big part to play in the story.
Yes. Yeah, I think we'll see. I hope we see Nevercross, since that was like a new location added to the map. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to learn more about them. And then Taran Ross Island, I think there was like a new location added to that one as well. So, and there are like sea dragons on the map and little mermaids and stuff. So I'm excited about that too.
I hate to interrupt, Con, but can we be introduced to your cat? I keep looking at him like, who is this?
How cute. This is Minnie. Her government name is Minerva. She is a hoe for attention, and she loves a good podcast episode.
Yeah, that's so
she's in everyone.
She's in everyone.
Every single episode. Whenever I start talking, anytime I start talking, she comes up and tries to get attention.
This is actually, it's my line.
I have a chair for her that stays here all the time.
Oh, that's so cute.
Love that.
My cats don't cuddle. Neither one of them. I don't know what I did wrong. I got them both as babies. And they're like, no, don't touch me. But, like, she's sleeping over there. She's doing her thing. But if I go to touch her, she's like, I'm good. Stinky cats. Oh, that's so cute. And then do you guys have any, like, other final hot take theories or the relationships that you ship on Quicksilver or Brimstone? Nothing is too crazy.
The only last thing I thought of as you guys were talking about the main three villains and them being three is what made me pay attention to it, because Callie does have a lot of like very, I don't know what to call it, I guess traditional lore for her mystical, magical creatures. Those three are very similar to a hag's coven. And if there are witches in this story, they might be the ones to help them be like, oh, yeah, that's a coven, and we could teach you how to break it, which in traditional lore would be like finding their weakness, or there's like a certain thing that you have to do for each of them to kill them, like actually kill them. So that would be interesting if it was actually like that, because it's very similar to like, oh, yeah, you have to kill all three of them for the coven to die. You have to separate them or isolate them so they're less powerful. So, a lot of similarities.
I did not think about that.
Interesting.
That'd be
That's
so much
a really
work.
Good theory.
It would.
That's so much work.
But it would make it a little more interesting than just like, oh yeah, you got to stab them to death. It could be like, oh, you have to. This person has like a mirror that reflects their true self, and you have to kill them there or something.
Fancy.
Wild.
Gonna collect all the Horcruxes and destroy them.
Beat him in chess and then he dies.
So I was gonna do like a rapid fire, but I'm just gonna do one final question for each. Like, it'll be the same question for each of you. So you are stuck, and this is one that I had asked Callie as well, but I just am interested in all of your answers now. You are stuck on horseback for an unknown amount of leagues. Are you on the same horse with Madra, Bellicon, or Malcolm? Con, go first. gonna pick somebody. I'm just picking. Well, I picked somebody.
Easy.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Is this Malcolm in his? Is this Malcolm in his current state?
No,
a pile of ash.
Oh no! Malcolm's creepy.
Yeah,
I think Madra.
Okay,
I don't know. I feel like I could like annoy her the whole time. Mm-hmm. I feel like that'd be fun.
John made a face. Okay.
No, this is a super easy answer for me, because one of these people is a vampire, and you always go with the vampire because they're super everything and amazing and great. So Malcolm, 100%. Let me love my vampire.
She was
it's
so
fine.
Ready. With
I
that
had
answer.
No idea. I was a first time. I know. As soon as you asked, I was like, oh, he's a vampire, duh. But I was a first-time reader on the podcast, and I had no idea there was vampires in the book, and I full-on flipped out. It was a moment
oh,
for
I
me.
I love that.
I'm here for.
Yeah, yes. I get it.
Mine's so. More of a... Mine's more of a process of elimination, so okay. I feel like Madra would annoy me, so I don't... want to ride with her, and then I wouldn't trust Malcolm not to bite me if he's like in the seat behind me, so I'd gotta go with Bellicon. I think I could suffer him.
Just put Malcolm in front of you. You can be the big spoon.
You bite him.
Every time he tries to bite, you just smack him face, smack his face.
Hey,
eyes on the road, buddy.
Knock it off. Quit it.
Oh man. I don't know. I don't like Malcolm. I'm so neutral about Bellicon. I think that would be a boring trip. So I feel like I'm just going to go with Madra. I feel like if you put me and Bellicon on a horse, no one's talking the whole trip. We're not interested in each other at all. It's
no
boring.
I love that.
For an unknown league? Yeah. No. Not unless I have my phone and I'm just like scrolling on the horse.
There you go. What did Callie say?
She chose Madra because Madra's so into herself that she like would forget Callie existed. And I was like, that's fair.
True. That's a,
I would probably choose Bellicon because I think I could annoy him that so much that he would leave the horse and he would walk. He'd be like, I'm just going to walk now. Like, okay.
I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah, Madra would not leave the horse, even
that's
if she was
true.
Annoyed.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Yeah. And I feel like she would sit on it like with both legs to one side and be like, you can actually just drive. Yeah. And I'm a passenger princess. I don't drive anywhere. It's not happening. So her and I would not get along. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love these
Cass,
questions.
What's your answer for this?
I would also probably say Bellicon, just because Madra annoys the crap out of me. I cannot stand her character. And then I don't trust Malcolm at all. I feel like I would die so quickly if I had to ride a horse with Malcolm. So I'd pick Bellicon.
Malcolm gave me the ick.
I would
so
enjoy
bad.
It. But yeah.
The whole time I was like, oh.
It'd be fine.
Just the way he said weird things. For Malcolm. I didn't like it.
Yeah, he's not great. I just like vampires. Yeah. Of the three choices.
Vampires.
He's
yes.
a vampire.
We respect
that's literally
your decision, Laura. I
mean, so follow up for everyone then, Big Spoon or Little Spoon?
Little Spoon.
Okay, there you go.
The Big Spoon's the one in the back, right?
I'd be Little Spoon.
I would rather be the Big Spoon. Yes. I don't want Bellicon like hugging on me. Mm. That'd be gross. So
Yeah, I'm going to be the Big Spoon so I can look at everything. Like, just, like, hold my arms and look around.
Okay.
Listen, I'm Passenger Princess. I want to look out the window.
That's more Passenger Princess vibe.
Yeah, I want to choose the music and eat snacks, and I can't do that.
The window
front.
Of a horse.
The window of a horse. Amazing.
No,
yeah, I was going to say Little Spoon, but Madra's still driving. She can do it around me, but it's purely selfish. I just know I don't want to sit up for that long, so I'm using her as a backrest. I'm just like,
oh my gosh. You're such a gentleman.
Thank
take
you.
Me away.
Take me away, Madra. Hi ho, Bill, away.
Outstanding. I love it. I love a good like icebreaker question or any of that. Usually in real life, in like IRL, it's what kind of bug would you be? So that's like, my go-to question now. Mm-hmm. It's a good, it makes you think. And usually I can choose the type of bug that they would be. And they're like, ah, I see that. So, yeah.
What type of bug would you be?
Okay, so I have an answer. So I want to be a scorpion, right? Because they're so cool and they're so badass. But yeah, in reality, I'm those really big bumblebees that just like bebop around to other flowers and just do whatever they're doing. Bebop. But in here, I am the a fuzzy scorpion. Ones.
Cute.
So if you ever need a new icebreaker,
people would still be scared of you a little bit as a bumblebee.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm allergic, right? Like, I'm not gonna hurt you, but I could. I could. Watch out. Yeah, it's because I'm 5'2", but in reality I am 6 foot tall. So it just works. Amazing. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. This has been absolutely fabulous. I am so excited for Brimstone, and maybe after you guys are done with your read and we're done with all of our stuff, we will meet up once again and we'll circle back onto all the theories. Unless, Kyle, please, your theory comes true, and then we're going to have beef.
I'm not invited.
We won't see you again.
We won't.
He doesn't have to come
nice
on
to meet you.
This is farewell.
Awesome. All right, fair enough, I guess.
Can't get enough of the Goodish Girls? Follow us on social media for sneak peeks at our upcoming episodes and bonus content.